And I suppose at this time it would be hard not to bring a message and not have some illustration about the World Cup in it. All the teams that reached the World Cup finals had great potential. Some teams have not in any shape or form reached that potential. I don't know what example you would want to shout out at this point. It may be Germany. It may be a team like Spain. Maybe a team like Argentina that arguably has the greatest footballer on the planet on it, but they didn't reach their potential. Some teams either have reached their potential or are reaching their potential, and we are happy to say that one of them on this occasion is England, and a good lesson in humility from the excellent manager Gareth Southgate being given to the whole nation. Pride tends to lead to falls, but humility leads to success. Potential is our theme this morning. Potential is just really having the capacity to develop in a useful and in a successful way. Young people, if you're interested in science, you may or may not be, but you learn about potential energy in your science classes. And here's the truth of the matter. Everyone has potential. Every single person here this morning has potential. Some rise to that potential and some do not. Indeed, many do not. And it is the same in the spiritual realm. Today we continue to think about the person of Samson. Samson was really in a category of his own. We're told in the Bible that he was endowed with the Spirit of the living Lord. He had been dedicated by his parents to a lifelong Nazarite vow. But his life was different. His life seemed to revolve around illicit relationships with prostitutes and with loose living women. And whilst it is said that he judged Israel for 20 years, he arguably didn't really bring about any great deliverance from the Philistines and ultimately perished in their midst. Here's what one commentator says, and this is maybe what sparked my theme this morning of potential. The Tyndale commentary says this: the story of Samson is a sad tale of a lack of discipline and true dedication, and the reader is left wondering what Samson might have achieved had his enormous potential been matched and tempered by these mental and spiritual qualities, unquote. So potential. And I just want us, just in the limited time that we have before we sing and pray and gather for a time of fellowship over a cup of juice or whatever, I just want us to think just about this theme of potential. And the first thing I want to just draw to your thoughts is the potential that was given. The potential that was given. A few weeks ago, we looked at Judges chapter 13, and we learned about Samson's mommy and daddy. We learned about Manoah, Samson's dad, and we learned about his mommy, whom we're not even told her name. And they were good and they were godly people. And we have a picture of Samson being born into a God-fearing and a faithful home. What an enormous potential there is in that. In an unbelieving and skeptical world, what an enormous potential and privilege it is. What an enormous privilege to influence children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think this morning of a parent praying with a child. Think this morning of a parent reading the Bible with a child. Think this morning of a parent nurturing children in the ways of God, in the ways of the Lord Jesus. Think of it as an investment. What a wonderful investment. And when that is backed up with a good and godly example, then we can, I believe, expect in God's time a blessing. Now, there can be many an up and down in between, but we can expect a blessing. And Samson grew up with tremendous potential. And I look out this morning and I see young people. I see very young people. I see teenagers. And I say to you this morning, as a pastor and as a minister, what potential there is in your life. And in a sense, hear this from this story. Hear from this story this morning the enormous potential that there is in your life. I wonder, do all of our young people know that? I'm sure they do to some extent. But do we always tell them that? And again, can I appeal to parents? And I'm sure you do this all the time. But just a wee gentle reminder. Tell your children how special they are. Tell your children what enormous potential there is within them by the grace of God. Maybe if we told them more, they would not fall into the ways of the world. And I'm sure that there are children growing up in our society and sadly maybe very little connection with church or anything like that. And they're maybe not encouraged to see the potential that they have. And so they become prey to a darker potential, to the abuses of alcohol and drugs and a lifestyle that is far from the Lord Jesus. And I say that to the young people, but I also say that to all of us here this afternoon. Because this principle of potential is given for all of us. Somebody once put it like this, life is a bit like a 15-speed bike. Most of us have gears that we never even use, and I'm sure today you can get bikes with a dear knows how many gears on them, but the point is made, isn't it? We never really reach our potential, our God-given potential. And so we have from this story in Judges, and we have especially from the account of chapter 13, this background picture of the enormous potential that was given to this young man, Samson, from a godly home. I suppose in many ways the heart of this story of Samson is the story of potential spoiled. Samson, just like all the other judges, was a very flawed person. And just like all of us, we're all very flawed, preacher included. And you know, these chapters catalogue the descent of Samson, as I've said before, into recklessness, into womanizing, into vindictiveness, bad temper, and violence. It is an extraordinary thing that this story is in our Bible. It is an extraordinary thing that we're thinking about such a man this morning. And I'm pretty convinced that many people who think they understand the gospel, they have no idea at all that we're here this morning thinking about a man like Samson. Let me just remind you of the story. Chapter 15 tells us the extraordinary situation that Samson discovers that his wife is no longer his wife. She's been given to somebody else. What a very unusual and extraordinary thing. Samson, we're told at the beginning of chapter 15, he goes down to be with his wife, and her father breaks the news that she's gone off with somebody else. She's been given to someone else. Samson, the blood rises, the temper gets going, and you might say, well, understandably, and in revenge, he goes out, and there's this really awful example of the foxes being tied together and somehow a fire being attached to them and them being set loose through the fields of the Philistines. It's just an awful thing to think about. But that's what Samson does. And of course, when you go down that road, you go down a road, you begin a spiral of violence and revenge. And so we're told in verse 6 that the Philistines say, who did this? They may well have had an idea who did it, but they are told it was Samson because his wife was given to his friend. And then dreadful, dreadful words, the Philistines went and they murdered the woman and her father. Dreadful stuff. Dreadful stuff. They take revenge with the murder of Samson's wife and his father-in-law. And again, Samson takes revenge, verse 7 and 8. He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. By this stage, the men of Judah, who are obviously very concerned about the whole situation, they are standing, and no doubt they've been standing at a distance, observing all of this situation, and for the first time in the text, we're told that they feel they need to intervene. And so verses 9 through to 13, they come to Samson, and they say, look, Samson, what are you doing? Do you not realize that these Philistines are our rulers? They obviously didn't have any real idea of what was going on in the bigger picture. And Samson and the men of Judah come to an agreement. He will allow them to tie him up if they promise not to kill him when he's tied up. And they enter into this agreement, but Samson is just playing a game. And at the particular moment, he breaks the cords as if they are threads. And verses 14 to 17, the other famous or infamous account, whatever way you look at it, he defeats the Philistines and kills 1,000 of them with the jawbone of a donkey. I don't know how anybody does that, but he is given superhuman strength of God. And that's what happens. And then verse 18 is interesting because having done that, we have a little insight into something that we haven't really seen before. We're told that he was very thirsty and he cries out to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to die of thirst. Help me. And the Lord provides water for him. A little insight into something that we will see more of next week, God willing. Samson's weakness. Samson, for the first time, cries unto God. And God delivers him. Samson is a peculiar mix of potential for God and for good. And yet so often, Samson is the example of potential indulged or potential spoiled. And that's so often true for us, isn't it, folks? Sin spoils. Sin spoils. And we come again in this strange mix seen in Samson of being endued by the Spirit of the Lord and yet at the same time living such an ill-disciplined life. Folks, does that not raise questions? How can it be that this man was endued with the Spirit of God and yet was going out doing this sort of stuff? How can you be empowered by the Holy Spirit and show so little self-control, so little patience, so little humility? Well, we see it in the New Testament. Remember the church of Corinth? It displayed impressive gifts. Yet there were problems in that church. Problems with disunity, problems with a lack of love. And Paul reminds them in the midst of, you remember that famous midst of 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14? He's talking in chapters 12 and 14 about the gifts of God's Spirit. And some of them seem pretty impressive. And yet that famous verse at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, leading into chapter 13, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And what is that way? It is the way of love. You remember the fruit of the Spirit? The love, and the joy, and the peace, and the patience, and the kindness, and the goodness, and the faithfulness, and the gentleness, and the self-control. Folks, can you see from this story in Samson, there is a little glimpse of something here, that it is sadly too possible to display gifts and yet not show the fruit. In this world in which we live, you don't have to think too hard. If you think of the world of sport or art or drama, to think of people who had tremendous gifts, and yet, deep inner struggles, no real sense of love, no real sense of joy, no real sense of peace. I don't know what examples you might think of. I think of people like Georgie Best. I think of people like Paul Gascoigne. I think of people like Robin Williams. People with amazing gifts. Impressive gifts. And yet there was something else lacking. And in the church, that can be the case, can't it? Someone can be showing impressive gifts in ministry, speaking, serving, yet inwardly things may be a mess. Because the proof that we are going on spiritually is not actually the outward impressive gift, but the inner fruit. Tim Keller, one of the commentators, says in this context, he says, and I quote, our prayer life, rather than our religious activities, is the best indicator of spiritual health, unquote. And Samson demonstrated at one level tremendous talents and gifts endued of the Spirit, mysterious though that may be to all of us. And yet in his own heart he was a mess. Running after women here, left, here, right, left and center, doing this, doing that. It was all mixed up. And in Judges 15:18, we read of Samson crying unto the Lord. We haven't read of that before. An example of a gifted man, but prayer may come as a last resort. And that's a really deep challenge for all of us in leadership. Do not allow prayer to be a last resort. Seek the face of God and seek him early and seek him often. But here's the third thing. Potential channeled. We will look at this in more depth next week, the story of Samson and Delilah and the demise of Samson and how he ends up bound by shackles, grinding, blinded, his eyes put out in a prison. It's an awful scene. Those of you who are interested in literature will know the famous and the kind of genius poem that John Milton wrote about this. But the big picture here is that it was out of weakness that Samson's potential was reached. In fact, here's the thing, folks. It was in death that he achieved a great victory. It was in weakness that he became strong. It was a triumph out of death. And what does that point us to ultimately? It points us to the Lord Jesus. Where was the greatest triumph in human history? Triumph out of death, triumph out of weakness. It was when our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross on Calvary's Hill 2,000 years ago. And out of that weakness came strength, resurrection strength. And out of that defeat came triumph and victory. If you and I are going to reach our spiritual potential and see our potential channeled, then we must die. We must die. Die spiritually. Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." I'm sure some time ago I've quoted these words, as maybe others have. Have you ever read the life of George Mueller? Extraordinary life. One day he was asked the question, "Mr. Mueller, what is the success to your life?" And he said this, and I quote, he said this, listen to this. He said, "There was a day when I died. Died to George Mueller. His opinions, his preferences, his tastes, his will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then I have studied to show myself approved only unto God. There was a day that I died," said Mueller. And folks, that's why we sang that hymn, "But we never shall prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey." The Christian gospel calls you to surrender your life to Christ, to repent and believe the gospel. Only then will you reach your God-given potential. Young person, will you do that? Will you do it today? Older person, will you do that? Will you do it today? And I finish with this. Listen to this, folks, I ask you. Brother and sister, it is only by the grace of God, as you seek a closer walk with the Lord, that your spiritual potential will be channeled well for the kingdom. Are you using your God-given potential? Are you using it to serve God in this place? You were made by God for God. And as you allow God through his word and through his Holy Spirit to work deeply in your heart, then your potential and all of our potential will be channeled for his glory. Potential given, potential spoiled, but praise God, potential channeled. Let's pray. Father, we do not understand everything about the life of Samson. There are things that are mysterious. But we bless you, Lord, that it's part of your inspired word. And we pray that you would just apply it to our hearts. And even this afternoon, Lord, maybe as we sit in the sunshine, just reflecting on different things, may this story be in our hearts. And may we pray that you would come and just work a closer walk in our lives. So, Lord, hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, we're going to sing this lovely hymn before we close. Oh, for a closer walk with God.